Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. We have a fantastic segment to close out tonight's show. And if you're looking for something to do this coming weekend, I am telling you that you should head on down to Massasoit Community College in Brockton, because hitting the stage for the 75th anniversary of the film The Wizard of Oz, we have some of the folks who are going to be part of that production. In studio right now with me, we have Corinne Mason. Corinne, hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
You know what's funny is Corinne was supposedly going to be the shy one who has never done this before, and she came right to life. And also with her is a couple of folks who I've done radio with previously. We have Julie Grant, who has been on before with us.
Hi,
hello,
Kevin.
Julie. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Fantastic. Now, let's kind of back up. Corinne is the director of this particular production. Mm-hmm. Jules is the dance captain and part of this. And what good is to talk about the show unless you have the star of the show? We have Kels Ferguson, who has also, I think, done something on Monday Night Talk previously. Hello, Kels. How are you?
Hi, Kevin. How are you?
She has the role of Dorothy. How are you doing, ladies?
Great.
Good.
Great.
Really good.
First and foremost, Corinne. Corinne, of course, is directing this. Tell us what it's been like leading up to this week, which is Tech Week.
This process in particular has been really different for me than other processes because I'm both directing and choreographing. So when we cast the show, we made sure that we cast a talented, well-abled group of people. So rehearsal would end at 10 o'clock at night and no one would go home.
Really?
Yeah, they'd stay and they would want to continue to practice or have extra rehearsals. They're kind of perfectionists, and so am I. So it's been a really easy process, surprisingly, because this show's huge.
Well, it's not only is it a fantastic show, but I mean, it's too bad we couldn't have everybody, because you kind of have a star-laden show. You have a lot of fantastic people who have been doing community theater in the area, correct?
Yes, we do. A lot of really, really talented young performers and veterans as well. So it's a nice mix, and they've built a great community, too, amongst themselves.
And I have to say, it was actually kind of funny, because I've done a little bit of theater, just a little bit, and to see when the auditions were going up, to see some of the folks who I'm friends with on Facebook who do theater, to hear everybody going, oh, I'm going, and I'm wondering if I'm going to do this. And I think the funniest thing is seeing Kels when she's like, oh, I hope I get this.
I know.
I hope I get this. And then if you could visualize it, it was almost like a shriek when she's like going, I got it. What was that like when you were told that you were going to have the role of Dorothy?
Okay. I got it in a voicemail because I was in the shower and Corinne had called me and left a voicemail. And the voicemail started with, hi, Kels, this is Corinne Mason. I'm calling to thank you for auditioning. So, of course, in my head, I'm going, and we want to ask you to come play tree number 4.
That's usually what happens to me.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm pretty much used to that kind of stuff, too. And, you know, she went on about and went on and went on. And then eventually it was, we want to ask you to come play the role of Dorothy. And I lost myself in my bathrobe. Like, my cat was looking at me like I was insane. And then called her back immediately.
To talk to Jules. Jules, I mean, you're somebody who, you know, you're well versed as far as when it comes to to dancing. Talk to us about your role. You're going to be the person who is the dance captain, right?
Yes, which just means that I help Corinne so that where she's playing both roles of director and choreographer, I can help some of the cast just go over steps and the technicality of it, just so that it frees her up from having to do that.
But that's significant, though.
Thanks.
That's very significant.
It's huge, yeah.
And I know that's something that you love doing. You're somebody who loves dancing and being able to kind of share it with somebody.
Mm-hmm. She's an amazing dancer.
Thank you, Kels. That's nice. Thank you.
But that's the compliment of the show is there's so much that's going on. I mean, what's it been like for you, Corinne, to kind of, first and foremost, kind of start, you know, getting people in places and, you know, how you're setting up each scene and how you want to, I mean, this is going to be the first show that you're directing, correct?
Not ever, but the first
but,
show
but
at
Massasoit. Yeah. At Massasoit, let's make sure we make that clear.
She's got experience.
I've got a little experience. But I'm
saying, though, is this is a different setting for you.
Very.
And it can be different when you're used to you mm-hmm. doing something at a particular theater.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and different working with different people, whether mm-hmm. it's, you know, whoever the tech director is and when he's building yeah. stuff, to the whoever's doing the costumes, mm-hmm. to, you know, yes. when musical direction.
Mm-hmm. I think that theater is underestimated a little bit. It's really a collaborative art. Mm. And I think that some people think that a lot of people in theater have big egos, and some do. But when you get a group of people together that are really focused on collaborating and everybody really is attentive to the part that they have to play in the process, it makes the process smooth and beautiful. Mm-hmm. Like Nathan Fogg is our set designer, and he designed this absolutely stunningly beautiful set. And Jen Spagone has been nothing but creative. She's our costume designer. So she brings these ideas to the table. And, you know, as a director, sometimes you throw these wacky ideas out there and you hope that someone will just grab them and run with them. And they do. They hop onto the ideas and they just run with them, whether it's Jen or Nathan or Brian, who's building the set. Mm. Whenever there's a problem, oh gosh, he figures it right out. And Wizard of Oz is huge technically, between, you know, fire and smoke and glitz and glamour and just the size of it. So everyone has been great, and even the cast. Because sometimes, you know, you have 30 people in a cast, and as one individual, it's hard for me to sometimes see the whole picture or maybe see the problem. But Julie has been great in helping and helping break things down for other people. And so everyone has just been so dedicated to creating something great. And that's what makes this very special.
If I could interject, you know.
Please do.
Everybody does have something different that they bring to the table, but Corinne is a very strong leader. She's been a great director this whole process, so that really, I think, makes everybody else want to bring it to rehearsal to make her happy. So she's very organized. She's very organized. She's very detail-oriented. She's very descriptive in what she wants, so it's easy to work for somebody that can express to you clearly what it is she's looking for. So I think that the leader sets the tone, and she's been a great leader throughout the process. So
thank you, Julie.
You're welcome.
Corinne, I got to ask you, what's it like for a cast? It seems like you have an enormous cast here.
It is pretty big. It is a huge cast.
what's the challenge of a director to take maybe the group mm-hmm. of veterans that have mm-hmm. been doing community theater? Maybe you might have a few folks who are coming in mm-hmm. who maybe they only have a couple of shows under their belt, and having them mesh. What's that like?
Well, I have a term that I stole from my mentor, Peter Carey, and I say they call it a play for a reason, so that we can play. And ultimately, I think, especially as a veteran or even myself, someone that's been doing this for a very long time, we get into this mentality where it becomes work. And you have to remind those people that it's still about playing and it's about the process and not the product. So we all still have something to learn from each other. And I try to set that tone in auditions and in callbacks immediately. I'm very supportive of everyone's work. And I try to keep people engaged with each other as well. And the newbies, we have a couple of great, like, 16, 17-year-old girls that are, like, fabulously adorable and really cute dancers. They're hungry to learn, which makes the veterans want to teach them.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So it's
Some of us veterans are learning, too.
Yeah, no, true. Absolutely. Right. And good the point, veterans Charles. Still have something to learn. We all do. And as soon as you shut that switch off and you think you don't have anything left to learn, then you don't grow.
Right.
And so
that was definitely the best audition process, because I'm used to the cattle calls. I'm used to showing up and singing and dancing and acting, mm-hmm. and that's it. They're like, you don't get any feedback, and you had turned around and mm-hmm. said some amazing things, being like, no, try it like this. And I've never had anybody do that in an audition.
But Kels, what's it been like for you to pace yourself? You're the one who, you know, you got the lead. Not only do you have the most lines, but you also probably will have to use that big voice of yours a number of times during this. What is it like to have to pace yourself to make sure you don't burn out before the shows?
You know, it's very difficult, specifically because I spent so much time in that script That was probably the mm-hmm. most difficult part for me is
absorbing
is being in that script.
Right.
And knowing, because Dorothy is playing off of these four or three guys, and you know, you have the Scarecrow and the Tin Man and the Lion, and they are involved in conversations, and then Dorothy sometimes is on the outskirts. So it made it kind of difficult to figure out where I fit into the conversation, and remembering the O's and the ah's and the oohs and the oh my's, except for the lions and tigers and bears part. I got that one down. but yeah, it was a very difficult process. And the three male leads are unreal good. They are mm-hmm. so amazing. Mm-hmm.
The lion is truly...
Like, he is the lion.
Without a doubt.
But from what I understand, you have an interesting character playing the witch.
We do.
Listen, I got the dirt kid, so.
Oh, that's so funny.
Who are you playing the witch?
His name is James Valentin.
That's right. His name is James.
James is good.
The witch.
He's phenomenal.
He's outstanding. Mm-hmm. There was never even a doubt in our mind mm-hmm. when he was there at callbacks. He has this really beautiful quality about him and the way that he uses his arms and his hands mm-hmm. too. So, I mean, ultimately, I'm not against casting a man as a female role.
Hey, Shakespeare did it for how long?
Yeah, but he has to be a believable female. Mm-hmm. And that's what I said to him was, this role's not drag. It's not, this is not drag. I don't want you to
RuPaul.
Think that you, No. You have to become the woman, and he does.
But but was that the role that he requested?
Did he auditioned really? For that role.
Wow.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
That is fantastic.
Well, he played Mary Sunshine in Chicago at the Company Theater last year. So he, he's a little used to doing the cross-gender thing.
Again, we are speaking with Corinne Mason, who is the director and choreographer of Wizard of Oz, as well as... Kels Ferguson and Julie Grant, as they're part of this, a big show that is hitting the stage this Friday. Don't forget, it's for two weekends, if I'm correct, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Don't forget that the Friday and Saturday performances are at 8 o'clock, and there are Sunday matinees at 3 p.m. If you want tickets, 508-427-1234, or you can order online at
which you should
www.massasoit.mass.edu. Any jitters with this event coming up at the end of the week? How do you guys feel that you have progressed from, you know, from the beginning to where you are now? Because this is it. This is the home stretch. Mm-hmm. We start with Jules. How do you feel?
Excited and confident. This is going to be a great production, and I'm very proud to be a part of it.
So you've worked out all the people who have the two left feet, and they're
definitely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How about you, Kels? I mean, you're the person. You are basically that everything is kind of built around.
She's
right?
She's going to live up to the expectation.
I'm terrified, but the only thing is.
But that's what drives you, right?
Yeah. If you lose that terror, then you're not, you're not striving to be your best. Because, I think I've always had stage fright. So, every single time every time I've stepped on stage, I've been like, oh, God, it's happening.
As you being a director, mm-hmm. what's it like? You've seen a number of casts, I'm sure, not only being a director, but I'm sure you've been part of casts where you see this collection of people where they come together, mm-hmm. whether they're new to theater or they've done it before, and see them grow together. What's it been like for you to see them grow together, or see the little things that happen within a cast?
The little inside jokes that they all
the
get
little inside
that
stuff.
I don't get. It's very funny. I think that this cast has really become friends, and that's not something that always happens. I think that people grow very, very close, and then a show is over, and then they say, bye, it was really nice, and I had this really fun experience with you, and I appreciate you, but I'll see you in 2 years when we do the next show. But this cast really is, I don't know if I want to use the word codependent, but they
that
are.
Sounds unhealthy.
They're bonded, and they're unified, and I think that myself, the team, and the cast have created something together. Mm-hmm. So I've facilitated it, and I am at the head of it, I guess, but essentially it's not just mine. It's all of ours, and we get to share that, which makes this process so different.
Very good. I guess I would ask you, Julie, what some of the things that you've kind of noticed? Again, you're a veteran of theater and dance. What are some of the things that you have seen during this time?
I think that spectators need to prepare themselves to mm-hmm. really see something that's so visually pleasing that all the T's are crossed and I's are dotted as far as like what we all take home and remember from our experiences as children watching The Wizard of Oz mm-hmm. and then again watching it as an adult. You know, all the little details are there. The things that you're going to be looking for, you will find in this production. I'm really excited about it. The Fab Four is just amazing. Dorothy, the Tin Man,
I love how they took the Scarecrow. I know. Fab Four. It's like we kick in doors and give men makeovers. Like.
Since the audition and everyone was cast, even the Tin Man walks like he really is jointed
from the beginning,
together,
from the very from first
metal,
rehearsal.
From the very first rehearsal.
And that's impressive, yeah. isn't it? That somebody really takes it seriously. It doesn't matter that it's community theater. It's Mm-mm. a matter of living the role, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, and we're all absolutely. Getting so much out of it, I feel like. So, and I think that will read in the audience. I think people will see how much we appreciate each other and what we have to offer okay. each person.
What do you? I want to make sure I ask the star of this production. What do you think? Because you're at basically you're working with a group and you're working with different people throughout. What's it like? What are you seeing through your eyes?
I am working with a cast that I don't know. Like I had never met any of these people.
Never?
I'd been off the stage for a decade.
Okay.
And I
has
made,
it been that long?
It really has. Mm-hmm. It was your Good Man Charlie Brown in like 2004,
That's
2005.
Right.
Yeah.
You were Lucy.
And I was Lucy. Right. And that was the last show I did.
I saw that.
And I didn't decide to audition for the show until about 2 hours before, and it was because I've wanted to be Dorothy since I was five. But when I met all these people, all these amazing, wonderful, friendly people, and I can't even like stress that enough, mm. I remembered theater being the egos and being the people who wanted to be the best at everything and make sure everybody knows it. And that's not what this cast is. They are phenomenally talented, but you kind of have to like ask them if they are.
Really?
Like, what can you do? And then they show you and you're like, you're amazing. Yeah. They're all stunning.
So you're saying basically there's this kind of a humbleness to the
yeah, that's great. Mm-hmm. It's so mm-hmm. amazing. And it mm-hmm. makes you feel so comfortable for being they all knew each other. They yeah. had all been in Spring Awakening before and mm-hmm. they were all company kids or Cappuccione kids and I'd never been involved in any of that. I was sort of this outsider and the lead, which made it yeah. like 4,000 mm-hmm. times worse. And they were all so welcoming and warm. I loved it. And mm-hmm. it was just such a phenomenal process. And I can't wait for everybody to see it.
Yeah, I know.
And any thoughts to what Kels has said in regards to, you know, what's your backgrounds, whether it's Corinne or, mm-hmm. or Julie? I mean, were you strictly a company kid, or have you worked with different dancers?
I never worked with company. I never went to theater school. I'm mostly a dancer, but I love musical theater. I have an aunt that has brought me to shows since I was three, mm-hmm. Mostly to the PPAC. So yeah. I have a strong appreciation for theater, and I'm glad that I'm able to bring what I can, which is, you know, my mm-hmm. dance. And I had known many of the people that are in the cast from just doing different shows with them, but right. I just feel like this process has definitely taught me more about the people that I already knew. Mm-hmm. So it's great.
I was a company kid back in the day, but since then I've worked all over the place. I went to school in New York and lived there for a while and then came back, and so I work wherever I can get the work. But I actually didn't know and hadn't worked personally with a lot of the people that we cast. And that was a little bit of a scary experience, but also an exciting experience for me, too. So I was a little bit in Kel's position, where I had known these people through the grapevine, because theater is, you know, a very, very tight community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when you work with somebody, it's different, and it can go one of two ways. And this definitely went down the right way.
I guess I'm going to have to ask you, look at a show like Wizard of Oz, what people depict mm-hmm. this when seeing it with, you know, Judy Garland and seeing it on the big screen. Mm-hmm. How hard is it for you as a director and you guys also as people who have to perform this? Mm-hmm. What is it like to make sure that you're spot on? And is there anything, do you yeah. tweak anything? Because I know directors And choreographers like it. They want to tweak it and put their own little, twist in it. What's it been like you to? This is an enormous show to do.
Oh, it is enormous. Mark Rocheteau asked me to come in and direct. He is the producer. The first thing I did was go back and read the books and read the books and read the books and watch the movie and read the books, because everybody connects with Wizard of Oz differently. Mm-hmm. And the majority of people connect with the iconic movie, which is for sure. Mm. So those elements that are very iconic that people hold on to, being scared of the witch, being scared of the monkeys, you know, the classic physicality and sort of tonal quality to the Tin Man and the Scarecrow and the Judy Garland smoky essence. We wanted those, and we were lucky to have that walk in the door. So in that sense, it is very iconic. But also, when you cast a group of live people, you have to play to their strengths as well. And so there are some things that are a little bit different, but they're not out of the world. So it's still going to be the show that everybody loves, and maybe hopefully they'll ask a couple of new questions. Mm. So we want the adults to remember how they felt about it when they were a kid, and they bring their kids and they can, you know, sort of relive that experience. But we also want to make it a little new for them, because sometimes things do get stale.
Mm-hmm. A little bit.
Yeah, sometimes
they do. There are numbers that are in the show that are not in the movie. For instance, the jitterbug got cut from the movie, but it's in the show.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, Dorothy's second big vocal number, and I was very excited about it.
The most fun number.
It really is.
Jazzy.
It's jazzy. It's fun. It's a crazy, crazy dance number.
Mm-hmm.
And we have an amazing jitterbug dancer.
Oh, yes. Shayna Barnes.
Shayna Barnes, who's...
the Brockton City Councilor.
The Brockton City Councilor. The first black female Brockton City Councilor, Shayna Barnes.
You can't sneak anything by me.
No.
As you were saying, Kels, I'm sorry.
And, you know, there are things that... I mean, I watched this movie when I was very little, and I'm still digging for the picture. I haven't found it yet, but I know I went as Dorothy for Halloween one year, and I'm looking for it, and I know I'll find it somewhere. I remember having the basket and the stuffed dog and, like, the whole nine. But I watched this as a little kid, and coming into the show, there are so many things that I just did not remember.
Mm-hmm.
That I, like, them getting lost in the castle and the dog saving him and how the water worked. And, like, I just, I forgot all of it, except for that it was in color. Like, and I thought that Judy Garland was the prettiest lady I'd ever seen, and that was it. And I'm learning so much. Corinne had turned around and went, okay, how do we know these farmhands? And we had all developed these ridiculous backstories. We were like, okay, this is how they know each other, and this is the Kansas Dust Bowl, and this is why they work at the farm, and this is their relationship with Dorothy and Aunt Em and Uncle Henry. And, you know, they're in these farmhands are in the movie for a grand total of 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, like, you don't, and but they're in the show for a good, like, 15. And, you know, the different ways that we say their names and the different ways that we interact with each other. And then when they become these imaginary characters that Dorothy comes up with, the lion, the Tin Man, the Scarecrow, how she interacts with them then, and how they interact with her. And I've learned so much. Like,
and why each farmhand particularly becomes that individual character.
And what would you say, Jules, as far as what I've already asked the two other young ladies in regards to, you know, how this is, you know, such a big show, and how you want to make sure that this is something that's spot on for the people who are going to come and see this.
What am I going to do?
No, which
don't think I'm understanding the question.
I want to get your thought on making sure that this is a show that people come and they will instantly recognize, you know, a lot of different things from The Wizard of Oz, but yet there's things that have been kind of implemented into it that folks... Mm-hmm. Would be a surprise if folks find, like...
Yeah, like, if people are probably more well-versed with the movie than they are the actual novel, but those spectators that are a little more familiar with the novel will see a lot of those details that we miss in the movie, you know. There are no crows that dance in the movie, but there are in our show. And, you know, Kelly referred to the jitterbugs. not only was that period for the time of the when the movie was created, mm-hmm. There's a whole sequence in the book where the witch, before she gets to the monkeys, you know, tries to go after the four main characters with different things, and she uses bugs as one of them. Of course, the Tin Man defeats the bugs. And so people that are more well-versed with the novel will see some of those elements that you miss in the movie.
Fantastic, see? Aren't you glad you understood the question?
Yeah, I know. At first I was like, I don't know what he's asking. I did want to say one thing, though. Kelly was talking about being Dorothy one year for Halloween. I have to brag and say that I was the Cowardly Lion one year. My daughter was 6 at the time. She was the Tin Man, and her dad was Dorothy.
Aww.
So we were quite...
Pictures, or it didn't happen.
Yeah, it's really cute.
Again, we are speaking with Corinne Mason, Julie Grant, and Kels Ferguson. We're talking about The Wizard of Oz that is opening this Friday night. This is in celebration of the 75th anniversary of the film. This, again, directed and choreographed by Corinne Mason. It's produced by Mr. Mark Rocheteau. This is a production being put on by Massasoit, the Massasoit Theater Company. Friday and Saturday night performances, which are May 2nd, 3rd, 9th, and 10th, are at 8 p.m., and the Sunday matinees, May 4th and 11th at 3 p.m. You can call 508-427-1234. We have a couple of minutes left. Mm-hmm. There's one little small key part that I need Corinne to fill in. Is that this is going to be a collaboration, is it not? A community mm-hmm. collaboration with the Mary E. Baker School?
It is.
And I also know that we want to make sure we want to pay attention mm-hmm. that the fantastic Janice Issa Wright is also the person who's doing the musical direction for this.
Yes, Janice is the musical director for our adult cast, and she is this wonderfully vibrant personality.
And she does occupy a room.
She does. She steps into it with her personality.
She's so intelligent, and she's mm-hmm. so smart, and she's so good at her job. So Janice has been great. But with the Mary Baker School, Jen Sterling mm-hmm. is the choral director over
there.
And she's wonderful. So we have two casts, a red cast and a blue cast, and I've been going to the school twice a week to work with them with Jen, and I think it totals like 60 munchkins in each cast, but they're so excited. Mm. So it's nice to have a community collaboration, and for a lot of them, it's their first show.
Aww. They are the cutest things.
And Jen is a wonderful teacher, and she will guide them, I'm sure, and mm-hmm. anybody that has nerves or whatever, she will comfort them. I've seen her and work with children as well, and she's great.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, ladies, thank you so much for coming down
thank
here.
You.
To
thank you for having us.
Monday Night Talk. We have less than a minute before we wrap up the show, and we'll go around the table. Anything you want to say in closing, whether it's about the show or about your participation in the show?
I'll say thank you to Corinne for casting me. For asking
yeah,
the dance
I'm going
captain.
With that one. Mm-hmm. Thank you for letting me wear the ruby red slippers.
I know. Lucky girl.
Theater is a gift. And we hope that you will come and see our show so that we can give you this gift of joy and happiness.
Again, don't forget, Massasoit Community College, located off of Route 27 in Brockton. And I believe that if you go in through the Crescent Street side, Route 27, mm-hmm. the theater is on the first building on the left-hand side. To call for tickets, again, 508-427-1234. And $18 general admission. $16 for seniors and students, and if you have a group of 10 or more, it's $14 per person. Please go to each show. Mm-hmm. It's a fantastic cast. I can't say anymore. I know that I will pick a night. I haven't picked what night, but I will be there in attendance.
You should buy those tickets ahead of time, Kevin, because with all those munchkins, you figure all those grandparents and aunts and uncles, they're all going to come to that show.
And then we're also selling tickets on our Facebook as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So.
Thank you again, ladies, for coming in studio and talking about this fantastic show. One quick note, Lou Valenzuela, who's actually going to be a guest on here next Monday night, is holding a campaign kickoff for state rep for the 5th Plymouth District. It'll be Sunday, this coming Sunday, May 4th, from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Harmon Golf Club, 168 Concord Street in Rockland. If you want to find out more information, go to his website, Lou Valenzuela. .net. Well, that's going to do it for me here. That's another Monday Night Talk. Up next, What's Your Problem? And I believe after is South Shore Live with Stan and the Gang. Thank you for tuning in and have a great evening.